Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? That is the question. That is one of the questions. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and you are at the right place at the right time. Here on Progressive News Weekly, week in and week out, we bring you news and information that's, well, it's gathered from around the world. Well, most often here within these United States, supposedly united, we'll talk more about that later, but we do cross the borders from time to time to bring you that news and information that you won't hear elsewhere, especially on mainstream media, and not in the sense that you'll get it here. And by that I mean it's news that's unadulterated, not influenced by business or political interest. It's news that we like to say that you can use. And most often it's news that's, well, generated and brought to you by you, the listeners. And with that, I thank you for those of you who do bring me topics and or guests that we can bring forward, which is something that you can enhance your lives with. You can broaden your perspectives. You can be inspired with. You can be encouraged by. You can be uplifted. You can be empowered. And hopefully you can be moved to take action and make a difference, because it truly is information. We like to believe and we thrive for that you can use. So we hope you walk away feeling good about yourself and that you have something that you didn't have prior to listening. Something that can be a tool for upliftment and advancement. And today, now that you've heard my political spill, so to speak, and I'm using that word very loosely, because those who know me know I don't do politics. But I say political spill because, well, that's my means of getting you involved, to show you what we're about, more specifically tell you what we're about. You're about to be shown momentarily what we're about. We do have, as often is the case, a guest that will be joining us, a very regular guest, and we're going to be having some no-holds-barred conversation. And with many or most of my guests, I don't always agree, but we keep it real. And it's an uncommon discourse, as I mentioned, that you won't necessarily hear elsewhere. If there was a theme on today's program, and I don't always do themes, it would be same old thing, a.k.a. here we go again. It's nothing like laughing at your own humor, especially when others may not find the humor therein. Here we go again. I'm going to talk a little bit about the political fray that we find ourselves in. You know, I was driven to this topic this week as I tuned in to some media, some being mainstream, other being alternative, which I like to go from time to time as well. Alternative internet news, news in readable form, and of course mainstream being your, you know, mainstream radio and television. And since we've been together, last week, there was an incident that took place in Virginia. And we're going to talk a little bit about that incident. And I would love to hear your perspective about it. My guest, who prides himself, and I'm so glad he does, because he's often able to give us pointed perspectives on what is currently the inside scoop on these events that take place from time to time. And so this week we had an incident in Virginia, Charlottesville, to be specific. Now, that's not the deep South, albeit it is the South. Let's not make any mistake about that. And this was an uprising, a riot, as far as I'm concerned, generated by white nationalists, neo-Nazis, members of the so-called alt-right, you know, as in Hitler. And I just happened to be in between my weekend warrior activity, which I do from time to time. I have a couple projects I like to delve into. And this, I think I was doing some painting or something, and I just happened to look over and the television was on, and I see this clash going on in Virginia. So I watched a little of it and then did, as I said, some alternative introspection. Because I don't ever, and I suggest that you don't as well, rely solely on mainstream media. If you really, really, truly, wholly, absolutely want to be misled, then delve 100% into mainstream media. And I can comfortably guarantee that you will be misled. And so if you're into that kind of masochistic activity, go for it. But as for me, I like to spread my feathers and soar into higher perspectives of what the real deal is with any given situation or subject matter. And so I did that, and I delved into some alternative sources of information. And combined that with my own intellectual perspective, as limited as it is, because I'm human, and contrary to what some folks that I've worked for in my lifetime seem to have thought, that's a dig, and some of the corporate folks that I've worked with over the years and past lives, get those in where you can, you know. there I go. And so, you know, I conclude, and I welcome and encourage your perspectives. I conclude that it really wasn't our fight. You know, the whole thing was over this whole Confederate thing of nationalist protesting over, you know, one of their memorials that were being taken down. I don't know if it was General Lee or, you know, one of them. And this had been planned in advance and presented to the local officials. And what I first found out that was very interesting was the lack of police presence. And this was before it blew up. I just happened to catch it at the the beginning of the skirmish. It was early in the morning. And they were covering it on, I don't know, one of the stations. I'm not giving them any advertisement. They have enough money and they aren't sponsoring me. So the first thing I noticed And this was in contrast to Ferguson and, you know, some of the other uprisings that had taken place from a different perspective, you know, from an African-American or black or Latino and minority perspective. I noticed the lack of police presence. I mean, virtually a handful of police, at least from the perspective that was given, you know, because you got to be careful with mass media. But I did peruse several mass media because there were several stations covering it. And I still found it interesting that there was a lack of police presence. And the way they managed it, it looked like squirt guns, and I guess they were spraying mace, was nearly comical. And I say that because I'm looking at neo-Nazis, white nationalists, that are literally in body armor with high-powered weaponry, rapid-fire weaponry. Because, you know, as you go deeper into the South, those kinds of things are allowed. You know, public display of firearms. You know, the NRA has a strong foothold in the South. And so that was observation number two. Wow, these folks are well armed. And there's a lack of police presence. So you can see this puzzle coming together. Now, the third item was where this was taking place. And it was on a campus. A college campus, mind you. Now, that one I found very interesting. You see, this was on the University of Virginia. And this is no local college, community college. I'm talking about U of VA. And I follow sports. I'm proud to say I love my football and my getting into baseball. Can't help it because my Indians are doing well. Go Indians. That's another topic in terms of their mascot. Okay, we'll deal with that. And, of course, basketball and track and field. But I'm very familiar. That's a large, one of the largest campuses in the nation. And so I was impressed with the number of whites that was opposing these neo-Nazis. At the same time, of course, you saw the signs, Black Lives Matter, you know, make racist afraid again, and, you know, numerous signs that was counter to the neo-Nazis. And when I put the three together, you know, I had to say, here we go again. Same old thing. This was not our battle, especially in that particular venue. The few blacks that were there that might have been a part of that campus really didn't need to be marching there. If they happened to be there because they were on a football scholarship or a sports scholarship of some sort, or going back to school, because in the South they go back to school earlier, they didn't really, from my perspective, and I want to know how you feel, because you can say, well, in the 60s, you know, it was the college students that really led the way. But in the 60s, we were fighting to attain something, not fighting to deal with a neo-Nazi who was perpetrating to have something that they really didn't have. Because at the end of the day, it's government for the people, by the people, and of the people. And the laws were in place in this incidence, unlike in the 60s where the laws were trying to be put in place. So, to me, you know how a bully, you know, tries to prompt you when he knows he's got his gang behind him. This wasn't our battle. And we needed to just step back and fight it on a different level, on an intellectual level. Because the majority of those, from what I could see, were ignorant. Ignorant rednecks, from what I could see. Now, there's a stereotype in there, I'd be first to admit, because I'm sure there were some intellectuals in there as well. That had, when I say intellectuals, meaning they have some education, significant education. So, you know, that's something that I wanted to bring to the fore here this evening. And I'd like to hear what folks are thinking about this. Of course, Donald Trump weighed in, and the mass media took full advantage of attacking Donald Trump. You know, he was silent, which he was. Then he made some, you know, ignorant statement, which he's apt to do. It's who he is. But that whole thing the media loved, because the media is really about making money and trying to control the mindset of America to make more money. So I stepped back and said, let's not fall into this same old thing, here we go again scenario. We've got bigger fights to get into than dealing with some neo-Nazis that's doing. Let those folks that were majority down there and those white folks, my white audience, if you're tuning in, you know, I love to hear your comment. I'm glad to see you were out there fighting the battle, because really it is your battle. It's embarrassing. I would be embarrassed if I were you and had some common sense. And so you're supposed to be out there on the front line fighting that battle, because, you know, your white folks who, you know, are, catch myself, and I won't say, you know, in many cases, you know, three cousins down, married to the second cousin, you know, and, you know, got two turds worth of sense, are out there embarrassing you. And so you really need to step out and say, no, that's not what this is about. And folks, let's not forget, all white folks ain't racist. And I love me some Malcolm, you know, who talked about the blue-eyed devils. But you can believe there were some white conductors on that Underground Railroad. Let's not forget it. And we keep it real. Let's keep it real. Albeit maybe few, but enough to make a difference. So I'm not just broad brushing this. But the majority of those folks that was down there protesting were just ignorant, redneck white folks. And the intellectual, grounded white folks know that. You know, it's like having that fifth cousin who just didn't get it. You know, he fell on his head or her head early. And, you know, you don't want to always know that, or let people know that that's a relative. But they do something stupid, you're supposed to step up and say, look, come on. Come on, girl. Come on, dude. You know, get some help. And so I was glad to see the white folks out there doing what they're supposed to do. But my child, if he or she had been out there, as much as college costs now, it's not that kind of battle right now. Not that. But you're behind in school. Get the education, and then we'll deal with that. It's not that. Wasn't like they had killed some young man and had him laying in the street for 6 hours, or some young kid that was, you know, playing with a toy gun, or somebody they black brother they threw in their head for selling singles. It wasn't that kind of party. So that's my perspective of that situation, right? Yeah, let's not be prompted into this as we get into the heat of the summer. You know, it's always that August thing they try to bring something out. No, we're not going there. And Trump, be ashamed of yourself. Be very ashamed of yourself. That was a lightweight statement, very lightweight. Now, with that said, it reminds me, and don't ask me how. No, you can ask me. It's live. I'm good. You can ask me anything. I may not answer it. It reminds me of a program I was listening to earlier with one of my mentors, I'm proud to say, Gary Null. And I was on Gary's network for many years. If you don't know him, Google him. He's one of the most renowned, remarkable minds. And he's white. He's a white guy, in case you don't know who he is. But he does speak truth to power. And I don't agree with Gary 110%. I do not. There's some things that we differ on, specifically. But I was listening to him earlier, and he was just talking about this government and how we have got to be diligent about the information that we let get into our minds, our spirits, touching on our souls. This is deep warfare that we're in right now, and our government is involved, literally and figuratively. When I say literally, I was thinking about Libya and Gaddafi. I was talking with, well, our guests. We're talking about Yugoslavia. We got some nasty skin in the game, and this takes it from the national scene to the international scene. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But before, I just want to, you know, as I think about Libya, because I was appalled, and I know some folks got caught up in the rhetoric about Gaddafi, you know, what he did and this bad person he was. But you need to look at your facts. This man was murdered, and he was murdered for reasons that you may not really fully realize. So this isn't just a when I think about our political situation, this isn't about a Trump or a Bush, who was probably one of the worst presidents in American history, or Bush 2, I'm referring to. Or about a Reagan or even a Nixon. You know, I say it and I said it and I see myself saying it in the future. Left wing, right wing, same bird. Because some things that happened under Obama was appalling. And one of them was that whole Gaddafi scene. You know, the fact is, the matter is, they claim that he was, you know, murdering. They tried to put him on the same level as a Hussein. Remember? The man that was really terrorizing his own people. The truth of the matter is, Gaddafi, Libya, an African country, and this is just truthful facts that I know. Libya was one of the healthiest nations. Actually, it was the healthiest nation. Statistics show Libya was the healthiest nation in Africa, on average, of its people. They were the most prosperous nation in Africa. They were the most... Now, here's one for you, and I want my Nigerian listeners to call in on this if you have different information. Because, you know, African countries are very competitive, because Nigerians are very well-educated, generally speaking and specifically. But Libya was the most educated nation in Africa. They had the longest lifespan. they had a water project to bring water to help the citizens of Africa. But, oh, wait, but here's one. They were even recognized by the United Nations for their leadership in fighting factions. I mean, there was a time when they had 600 terrorists, Al-Qaeda terrorists, and were known as one of the most stabilizing for incarcerating terrorists, national terrorists. So you may say, well, okay, well, Darrell, what happened? What went wrong? Oh, here's what went wrong. Gaddafi, at a point in time, wanted to be self-sufficient. Is there anything wrong with that? I know I want to be. I want to be for my family, myself, my loved ones. But he took it too far because it affected a global scale. You see, Libya had one of the largest gold reserves in the entire world. I didn't say oil, I said gold. Over 124 tons of gold. Libya had half the gold of England. Now you may say, well, dang, they had half. That's not a lot. Yeah, but they had one-tenth the population. So what Libya proposed was the dinar. Now, many of you out there know about the dinar because they were talking about the dinar being revalued. Remember back when Obama came in office? They squashed that real quick, and people were buying dinar. Some of you may remember this. You know, I do. I might have bought a few. That got squashed real quick. They had to first take care of the main source, which was Hussein. Okay, they knocked him down quick. But what was going to happen was they were going to change the whole economic global focus of the financial structure of the world, because they were going to say, with all their resources, we're going to base our exchange on how much gold you have to back your revenue, your currency. And that's not going to fare well with the country that has no gold. You know, Fort Knox, I always tell you, James Bond, I'm proud to say, one of my favorite series. I think I have every movie they've made. And when a new one comes out, you know, I always ask, you know, wifey or daughter, you know, y'all got to get me the new one for Christmas or birthday, because I just enjoy it. It's my thing. But I say, don't be a secret agent. James Bond was the ultimate secret agent. So when I say don't be a secret agent, I'm saying share. Share Progressive News Weekly, because you're not going to always get this information. You're not going to get it often. So we need to grow this network. Do you know 80% of networks are very ultra-conservative? So talking about liberal, conservative, I don't like to talk that language. I'm more progressive, which means I step back and kind of look across the whole field of conservative and liberal. But, you know, speaking in their terms, I'm certainly not a conservative. Left wing, right wing, same bird. And I'm not a liberal either. But at the same time, when you talk about 80%, you're talking about Rush Limbaugh. And I'm so far from that, I won't use a name calling. I'm trying, this week I'm not trying to call names. Next week, catch me, then I'll make up for it. Every now and then you got to cleanse, you know, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. So I'm fasting on name calling. So anyway, Gaddafi was getting ready to base their exchange on gold. The United States has no gold. Maybe there was something to that James Bond movie. Remember Goldfinger? When they got the gold? Maybe they did get the gold. because there's no gold that backs our currency any longer. So if there was going to be exchange, there would be an exchange of power when certain countries are now beginning to base their exchange rate on how much gold you have. So right there is where Gaddafi, by some perspectives, made his mistake. And all of a sudden he became a villain. Don't ask me why I went off on the whole Libya thing, like I told you. I'll answer the question maybe. The lines are open. The number is 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. I love to hear your perspective on this subject matter. In the meantime, I want to bring to the airwaves our guest, Mr. Ronald Crenshaw. If you don't know who Mr. Ronald Crenshaw is, which I suspect there are a few out there that maybe don't, Ronald Crenshaw is a research analyst and a historian by hobby, and a doggone good one, better than many who are historians by trade, from my experience. Not being biased. And so Ronald is going to, you know, give us his insight. He's well respected nationally. He's been on many panels and mass media and local media for his acumen of understanding the structure of society. Also understanding significantly the financial structure as someone who works with finances as well. So he prides himself on staying abreast of current events, things that are going on, and getting the background information. And so I thought it would be apropos to have Mr. Ronald Crenshaw join us this evening to give us an enlightened perspective of what's going on as our bumper tune. By the way, that, in case you wonder, who is that? I know that voice. Who is that voice that opened up Darryl's Progressive News Weekly show today? Well, it was Miss Etta James. What a talent, right? And if you missed last week's program on music industry and the influence on our society, you got to go to the archives and you got to share it. Don't be a secret agent. Now, last plug. With that said, I'd like to bring Mr. Ronald Crenshaw to the airways, historian, activist for human and equal rights, research analyst, and he's just going to give us his perspective of, you know, Charlotte and internationally, what's going on? Why is it that I'm saying, here we go again, same old thing? You know, he's been at this for over three decades, speaking truth to power and perpetuating and pushing justice and equal rights for all. Mr. Ronald Tanks. Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me today. I learned a lot about Charlottesville from what you had to say. Those particulars I didn't know about. I can only say in terms of the mood of the people out there protesting Trump, is that there's a new energy definitely been aroused by the president, and that's what I see going happening, and because he represents more than just a xenophobic person. He represents emotion, a strong motion to bring us into total fascism. That's what I see from my point of view, that he's making the step to bring us to total fascism. And we could see the steps coming along, especially with George W. Bush, with his USA Patriot Act. And we also would see what Obama laid out also, which was the National Defense Authorization Act and the Enemy Expatriation Act. Both of these acts said that the United States, anyone they consider to be being a voicing things that they felt were detrimental to the United States, they could apprehend a person, detain him, and put him away without a trial. That's the NDAA, and the other part was the Enemy Expatriation Act, which says if you're a citizen, you could be stripped of your citizenship and jail without a trial. So, you know, and that Patriot Act, oh boy, that meant they could check the books you're reading from the library and things of that sort. I mean, wow, that was over the top. And of course, connected with Bush, and I guess I'm getting off the field, but I'm trying to just back up to say how this has been emerging in throwing us into a society that is really being oppressed from all of its people, and the Patriot Act started that. With telling us, you know, that they could follow the books that you borrow and things of that sort, it was pretty gruesome because he had had several acts that came along with that, and they were all pretty, you know, anti-democratic. I'll say that. They were just anti-democratic. They shredded the Bill of Rights. They don't use them at this point, but they're there for them to use when they decide to use them. And that's the thing. But getting back to Charlottesville, because that's what you brought up, and I'd like to say that there's a new spirit coming on, because Trump has promised a lot of stuff. He's says he's going to bring the jobs back. He hasn't even touched that anymore, because that's not for him to do. He can't do that, because the people who put him in office wouldn't allow that. But he could say it, because he didn't have to prove it, because he's a president. So that's the way that goes. He could say anything. But that also leads into another aspect, is that who's controlling the let's see, what do you call it, the people who are supposed to put Trump in office? It's a group of people. Well, anyway, he won through this. Electoral College, that's what they call it, the Electoral College, which actually nobody knows the people that control the Electoral College. Okay, so that in itself means that there's already in place a dictatorship of those who are the super wealthy, automatically. I mean, when you go to vote for someone, it's someone who is well off to begin with. And that's the way, you know, Congress is controlled by, people, because once you become a senator, you become a millionaire. That sort of thing is rolling in there. So we have, you know, we have a complexity, and we must realize that being white really is the same as being not white, because of the fact that it's not a control, it's not controlled by a race of people. It's controlled by a people who have extremely a large amount of wealth, and that's who controls it. And they more or less happen to be, you know, European people. However, that has nothing to do with the aspect of race, because if we go to other countries, we'll say that, you know, in the Congo, we had Mobutu Sese Seko oppressing Congolese people. And we go to South Africa, we had a fellow there that was also on the side of the white nationalists in South Africa. So we must realize, and I was thinking, trying to think up the other one, which was Burundi, and how the Hutus and Tutsis, once the Belgium moved out, the Hutus started annihilating Tutsis. So they were both black. See, so that's what we have to be aware, that the we have to be aware of how race is codified, how it is used in this country, because that's the thing that keeps us backward in trying to go forward. Yes, to say that we want to have a classless society is something that I think is the essence of what we need to go forward with. But we must first of all realize that such thing as race is a myth. And we have to get that inside of us to realize that. And it is to no one's interest to try to take his or her race forward, because that's not going to happen, because it doesn't really exist. We are one species, Homo sapien, that's it. We've got to learn that we want to go for something that's going to be wholesome to our species. And we have to look at it that way. That's what I see as the crying of trying to move forward. Because we're all can be loving human beings, and we want to try to move that way. And that's what I see. And when Trump comes out and starts to say that both groups were equally bad, I mean, you know, that's so ignorant. Because, I mean, one group, as you said, the Nazis and the came out, they were armed, they were ready to go to battle. And that's because they don't understand how they've been manipulated. And they're fighting for something that doesn't benefit them, but they don't realize that. And that's the crying situation that's there. They don't realize they're fighting for their own demise. And it's hard to see it because they look at themselves as being privileged, but when they lose, when the job industries were moving out of here, they were leaving them flat. So, I mean, they, you know, can look at the world that, you know, they have more privilege. Well, that's a little twist there. That's a little thing that you have in your head, but if you try to analyze the aspects of what the country is going through, you'll see that it's hurting all working class people. All of them are being hurt. And to think that Trump is going to bring the industry back, no way. Until he will only bring the industry back when the Americans make less money than the Eastern Europeans, or say anyone in the East, because that's where they've all taken them to. So Eastern Europe, or China, India, that's where the lower income is there now. So that's my that's my sort of summation of what is going on, and
Tell me a little bit about the international. I spoke about the whole situation, and it's the same old thing. Here we go again.
Right.
Tell me your perspective about the international debacle and the United States fingers, being caught up in things, because you got to get a people not just what they want, but what they need. I say that because it's one
That's
of my
right.
favorites. You got to give the people, give them what they want. OJ's homeschool, homeboys. But you got to give them what they need also. And what they need is people need truth.
Right.
They need justice, of course. We need freedom. But
right.
we need truth. And
right.
I know one near dear thing, and I'm not going to get you on this because then you're going to take the last 10 or 15 minutes that we got of this show, because this is one of your hot buttons. One example, 911. Okay, Ron, stop right there. We'll talk about that on a later program, because you have done the research and you know. Talk about
yes.
the truth versus lie. But I'm just
right.
saying, with regard to our involvement in foreign affairs, and you just spoke, and I appreciate the way you gave your perspective of what's going on in Charlotte, and it's bigger. To summarize, from what I heard you say, it's bigger than Charlotte.
Yes.
I mean, you mentioned Trump and this, the way the folks were armed. This isn't just Charlottesville.
Right.
I said Charlotte. In Charlottesville, this is a depiction of what's going on across the country. Don't think that they're isolated, these neo-Nazis, to Charlottesville. They're well-armed. I was raised, and I'm going to put it out, I believe in being armed. I was raised that way. My granddad had a rifle rack, and it's okay to be able to protect yourself. That's what this country was founded on. I'm not
right.
a proponent of violence. Just a proponent of being able to defend yourself. I believe in martial arts and self-defense, and I just believe
right.
that you have to have intelligence and knowledge in order to counteract someone who is a deviant, who would try to manipulate your mind. And most important, I believe you have to be spiritually grounded. But I just wanted to interfuse as I segue back to this international aspect of what's going on. So with that said, I spoke of Libya, and I use that as a platform for you, because I know there's some areas, I think you mentioned, we were talking earlier this week about Yugoslavia, you were sharing some things with me, and there's others. We could talk about Venezuela.
Right.
And folks, so we need to be aware of what's going on in our country. And they may say, well, it's for the good of the country. Well, when you're hurting hundreds of thousands of people, I have to step back and say, talk to me a little bit more about that versus just taking action. And what they did to Gaddafi, and to me it was clearly based on the gold reserve. I mean, think about that. They have half of all the gold of England. Now, England, that's a system royalty. I mean, they pride themselves on the rubies and the emeralds, and so they got some gold. So when somebody says, I got half the gold of England, that's a lot of gold. But then when you lay on top of that statistic, well, I got half the gold, but my population is one-tenth. So relatively speaking, Libya had a lot of gold before they were taken over. And there was such a misnomer about what this man was doing. If he was such a bad person, why did Libya have the healthiest standard of living of any African nation. See, people don't look at this. Do get on the internet, folks, and do your homework. They're the most educated, and Nigeria, like I said, one of the most educated nations in the world, relatively speaking, because they got some, of course, very deep-ridden, depthful slums, of course. But generally speaking, Nigeria is African standards minimum, relatively educated. Libya, most educated, longest living standard, most prosperous. I mean, and then you got half the gold of England and one-tenth of the population, and then you're applauded by the United Nations for being one of the most stabilizing countries for anti-terrorism, you know, imprisoning over 600 terrorists from Al-Qaeda. And so what happened? Well, when Gaddafi said, you know what, from now on, we're requiring an exchange rate based on how much gold you have, America was out of that picture, because there's no gold backing for American dollars, folks. And we're going to get some more into this in the months ahead. So what does that mean for America on a global scale? So when he began to talk that, all of a sudden Gaddafi fell out of favor. And you can watch the timeline. It's all over the internet. You can see the timeline. When he made that declaration, all of a sudden it was deemed, you know, he's hurting his... And this wasn't just America, because this was going to hurt European nations. So they all said, you know, we got to take care of this guy. You know, he's getting too big for his britches over there. You know, he's hurting his people. You know, he's over there. Yeah, what about here in America? How many people we have in prison? If we wanted to talk about standards of hurting your people, how many African-Americans, we have more people incarcerated in America than all the countries in the world combined.
Wow.
So, let's just get real.
Right.
And I have to check on that statistic, but I know it's close, at least more than all the top 10 countries. So, folks, let's step back and keep it real here. You know, and I'm not an anti-American. I love my country. I just know that I have a responsibility to speak the truth, because I believe in the Constitution. So I have a responsibility, if I know something that's not right, to share it with my fellow citizens. And everyone listening have the same responsibility. So when you're talking with your neighbor across the fence or down the hallway, if you're in an apartment or upstairs or downstairs or whatever the case may be, you need to be sharing truth. And that's why we, as African Americans, and believe me, it's not just African Americans, because it'll be Latinos and it'll be the Jews and or it'll be the Irish, or, you know, if we're not going to be, but if we were to be wiped out, it would be who's next.
Right.
So we're all in this game. That's why I said I'm proud of our white folks who stood up in Virginia, because that wasn't your right. It was your responsibility to really showcase that, you know, you got some folks that are of the same pigment that are just ignorant, that don't represent you. That was good. It was your responsibility. And black folks, you stay out that battle. Get your butt in school if you're down there on that campus. You shouldn't even be near there, paying all that money, your parents. So anyway, I think about Libya, and so I look at these statistics, and I say, you know, that's horrible. I mean, that's just, and they killed this man. In fact, now I'm going to end on this, and I'm going to hand it over to you to tell us something about it, maybe another situation. Let's use Yugoslavia, because we only got about 15 minutes when I hand this back to you. I'm a wrap on this with Libya, and I have to come back to this from time to time, at least once or twice a year, because this was one of the most greatest atrocities. Okay, if this was such a great thing they did, they went in, right, and took down this dictator, this horrible person. If you look at Libya now, they really have no leadership. They're of small factions that are infighting. Their standard of living is decreased. Their education levels are beginning to come on par with other countries. And here's the big one I'm going to hand off to you. Remember I mentioned they had 124 tons of gold? What happened to that gold? I'll tell you. Maybe Fort Knox does have some gold now. You know, we could, by some standards, we could be considered a rogue thug nation, by some standards. So we just need to be careful about that. I mean, there needs to be some uncommon discourse about this. And you don't hear Al Sharpton talking about that, and you won't hear Jesse Jackson talking about it. So we need to keep this real and at the forefront. Left wing, right wing, same bird. So, Rod, I'm going to hand that off to you. What's your perspective?
Well, you're talking for me. I have
on
to
international
say,
nation.
I have to say, I didn't know about the gold situation in Libya. What I do know about Libya is from the past, and that was that Gaddafi nationalized the oil. In his oil for the benefit of his nation and people. And that was Rockefeller's oil. You know, he had taken that over. Now he pulled it back from Rockefeller. So they've never forgiven him.
That's
and
true.
By him, I mean Gaddafi, for nationalizing his oil. That
forgot
was
about
one
that.
That was very, you know, derived a lot of antagonism towards him. That's what I was aware of. The gold, I didn't know about that. So, I speak honestly. So, because there's a lot of things I don't know, and I'm always willing to put forth that, you know, that's the way it is. But that's what I know is the thing that they disliked about him. But I'd like to also pair something else. That the thing I wanted to say is that we see the dead body of Muammar Gaddafi, but when we come to the dead body of bin Laden, we don't see that body. We are told that that he was dumped in the sea, and that was Shari Law, which is not Shari Law. So my you know, ears go up and says, well, I think that that bin Laden is still alive because of the fact that when 9/11 happened, as I said, bin Laden was on the CIA payroll. Now, I got that from Michelle Chozodowski and his global globalresearch.ca. That's he's a professor. I guess he's retired by now, but he was a professor in Canada, and he brought that out, that bin Laden had nothing to do with 9/11. Anyway, that was the point there. So, you know, I can only go back to the sources I'm, you know, familiar with. So I doubt you not that what you've said about Libya and the reason they wanted to take it over would be the goal, as well as claiming the
the oil.
The oil. And they do this to all countries that they see are going socialist. They're out to overthrow them right away because they don't want to see a successful socialist or classless society to come about. That's the essence of what is going on, to keep societies that want to turn to Marxism, communism, they want to wash them away right away. That's That's the top agenda. So that's why.
Ron, tell us a little bit about Venezuela while we have about 10 minutes left. You were sharing something, and I wasn't aware of, about Yugoslavia, excuse me.
Oh, Yugoslavia? Well, yes. The contradiction with the Yugoslavia was from Tito had nationalized the area for Yugoslavia, and he too was going to be socialist. He was a Marxist, and that was the thing there, because see, Hitler from the Second World War had agents in Yugoslavia, and the countries I couldn't remember at the time we talked before were more or less conservative, would be Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Serbia was the hub of the socialist aspect of Yugoslavia. So the thing that Clinton had to go to is to try to undermine and demolish Serbia. That's why they painted him as being a bad guy and all that kind of stuff. But and therefore, that's what they wanted to crush. Every country that tries to pop up and give their country, stop the capitalist system, they're out to get rid of, lock, stock, and barrel. You understand what I'm saying, or am I too brief?
Yes, good. I understand your point. I was just trying to reiterate some of the conversation, because I really believe that we're thrown into the throes of life here in America, and I think it's not uncommon across the world as average citizens just trying to survive. It's not easy, and that's why we rely on mainstream media. So it's a
right.
It's a double-edged negative sword. You know, it's an ever-evolving cesspool, because you don't have time to think on your feet.
I think
it's by design.
Sure.
And what do? You turn on mainstream and you take what that gives you.
Right.
But I would say, for a few keystrokes, just go up on the internet and you can find all kinds of information. Now there's YouTube. So that computer, as negative as it can be, with some of the negative things there, the perversion and those things, and some of the ID theft and that, there's a counterbalance, which is information, real information. And, you have to, of course, lift up the lid if it's a laptop or a tablet. You got to turn it on and that kind of thing. But you do that with the television. And I would just encourage folks to, get on that machine that is becoming more and more common, and there's worldwide information there, and you can not just get caught on one or two perspectives or three, like Fox, MSNBC, CNN. There's a world of information that's available, and you can vet against that information to see that you're getting good information. And so that would be my message. And I appreciate you, Ron, when you come on and you're willing to share and speak truth to power.
Yes.
From your enlightened, perspective of what's going on, like that synopsis that you've done in years past on the truth of 911 and what really happened. I mean, that's the kind of information. And I know some folks don't know what I'm referring to, but we'll have to have you come back and just share some of that truth, because many people don't realize it, and some people want to think it's just a conspiracy theory. But I know that you bring facts to some of that knowledge that you share with us about what really happened at 911, and you being right there in the city doing your research in New York, it's very, very substantial, significantly grounded information. And so, you know, as I'm talking and thinking, I would like to have you come back and just reiterate some of that so people can understand that you just don't grant it, you know, what's coming across that boob tube. And it's no coincidence there's more, you know, what they call reality shows, which are really shows just to deaden your brains from things that are going on. We have to be very careful. I'd say it's okay if you have one particular show you like, you know, Housewives of Hollywood or whatever that might be. And even with sports, we have to be careful. I have to be very careful because I love my sports, but I have to taper myself, you know, to limit myself to, you know, a number of, you know, games that I'll watch, because time is so important right now, and there's so much going on in the world that so much can happen in a, you know, relatively short period of time that you have to be careful how we spend our time. So that would be my message. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves looking back and saying, boy, same old thing. You know, here we go again. And we want to be able to look forward and see it coming versus after being run over, seeing the train go down the track.
Right.
So, you know, that's why I appreciate you, Ron. And so for our listeners, speaking of appreciation, certainly appreciate you. There's a comment here, 216410, I want to bring to the airwaves, as we have about 5 minutes, and this is listenership time. 216410, you are on the air, please. Hello? Hello? Okay. Going once. We have a 216 area code. If you have something to say, you've pressed 1 on your dial. And let me just say,
talking to you.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, well, I didn't press a button. I heard that. Well, listen, it's okay. Perhaps when you logged in, you did. Here's another 216 number, 952. Would you have something that you'd want to say?
Well, yes. I just wanted to say hello to Ron Crenshaw. This is Iris, Ron in Cleveland.
How are you doing?
I'm great. And you?
Good. Good to hear your voice.
Good, yeah. I'm always happy to hear you speak. You know, you go into the real nuts and bolts of what's really happening in this country. Again, this call is about the truth. And we so rarely get any of that anymore. I mean, I've gotten to the place where I just don't want to listen to any of it. You know, there's always an angle. You know, there's you have to ask yourself, okay, where is this coming from now? What do they really mean? And then, unfortunately, we have some serious dysfunction at high levels of government in this country.
That's right.
Unfortunately, it appears like it's contagious. I mean, it's around the world. We've got this insidious energy that's seems to be pervasive. I believe in energy. So, you know, I just believe that, you know, it starts somewhere. And the person that has the floor, so to speak, and has the ability to influence the most people because they're forced to hear him or her, that's the energy that tends to affect most people. So if you're sitting in front of the TV, you're listening to your radio, and you're hearing this stuff, even though you're saying, I'm not listening to that, you're listening to it. See, your subconscious mind is amazing.
Right.
You know, the things that go into it, it doesn't have the ability to distinguish right from wrong. Oh, is this what you want to go in here? This is what you want to... Okay, you're listening to such and such and so-and-so, and this is what they believe.
Right.
You know, let's Let's get people stirred up again. So, you know, we've got conflict going on overseas. Look what just happened in Barcelona. That's today, wasn't it, today?
Right.
We got conflict going on within the borders of our country.
Yes.
That started someplace, and I'm not going to get real too deeply into this, but I think you hear me.
Yes, I hear
yeah.
you.
You know, that started someplace, and it's been going on for a couple of years now. And I guess it's easy to identify a problem, and I want to say this. Okay, what can we do? So those of us who see what's going on, I think we need to call it. We need to call it. I had a meeting this morning with someone, and I don't even know how it came up, but I think invariably now it comes up in most circles. I had no idea what their politics was, but the subject of this country and the leadership or lack thereof of it came up. And I just spoke what I believed.
Mm-hmm.
And the looks on the faces of the two people I was sitting with were like, oh, okay. I said, I'm not asking you to accept what I believe. We're just speaking our truth right now. I'm just telling you what I believe.
Right.
And I believe there's been a very, very unfortunate circumstance that took place in this country a year ago. The election of someone who really just shouldn't have been there.
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't be there.
That's right.
And I'm not a very political person. I'm not, I'm just a staunch Democrat, staunch Republican. I want the best person to be in the position. And maybe, and some would argue that that's the best person, but I'd have to say there might have been two or three or four more, but they just didn't make it far enough in the race. Could have done, just doing nothing could have done a great job. Because right now we just got a little bit too much going on. Anyway, that's it.
Iris, let me ask, what's your thoughts about what happened in Virginia?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Charlottesville, on the University of Virginia campus.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I don't have all the details because I didn't follow it totally. I just heard, of course, the aftermath. There was a rally because they wanted to take down a monument.
Yes.
Or the Confederate flag. Okay.
Yes.
And
neo-Nazis and to get rowdy,
right,
and
the white
wasn't
supremacists,
enough
the Nazis and all of this.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, Virginia is a stronghold of the Confederate flag. I mean, it just is what it is. You know, you see people riding around with the flags on their cars, on their trucks, and, you know, it's like a peaceful coexistence. But there's something very different going on now. And those people came there, and one person spoke and said, I heard this afternoon, the neo-Nazis, they came bearing arms. They came
correct.
Ready to fight. So I'm trying to figure out, I don't understand why it was allowed to go that far. I just see something very ugly here. I don't like what I'm sensing.
Right.
You know, we had a number of marches here in Cleveland after the unfortunate, you know, killing of a innocent child. And support for the Ferguson issue and all of this. We've had a number of demonstrations, and these people show up. You know, these people show up, the haters, and somehow it never got that far. I think they headed them off at the pass, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know you've got this thing coming. Why was it allowed to get to that point? You know,
exactly.
I just think that there's something here where, you know, it's a hands off, I'm gonna turn the other way, you know, I'm gonna look the other way type of thing going on here, and that's unfortunate. It's something. I'm just wondering how long it's going to take before, and I don't know. I think what troubles me is that the entire, my understanding, again, we only get what we get, you know, the media, that the support is unwavering for the majority of the Republicans as to how that all unfolded, the response from our dear leader, how he responded.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really scary. I mean, but again, and you spoke about this issue not being about color. People need to wake up and realize it's not about color. It's never been about color.
Right.
It's always about money and power. It's
exactly.
About money and power. All this stuff going on is about money and power. And you say, well, how much money do you need? It's a sickness.
Yes.
I've come to the conclusion, it's a sickness.
Right.
And these people will do anything at any time to make sure that the status quo does not change. You know, we could go on and on and on about all the ugly things that have happened in the world over the last 20 years. And if you really took a look at it, it's just like 9/11. And Daryl, you know, I heard you tell Ron, I'm not going to go there because that's your baby. You've done the research. You know, all the gold was in the Twin Towers in the basement.
Yes.
Okay, we're not going to go there. So they've been trying not to, you know, disclose the fact that they have hoarded and hidden gold for, I'm not going to say centuries, maybe, not centuries,
maybe.
A long time. It's always been about the money.
Right.
So, in addition to a few other things being covered and hidden while those towers came down, they were moving that gold out of there. Okay. I just, like I said, want to let you know I'm like-minded. I appreciate you coming on and sharing, you know, because we need to know the truth. We don't know how to act or react if we don't get the facts.
Exactly.
If we don't get the information, if someone doesn't spark a thought in our minds, you know what? That makes sense. And that's what happened to me some years ago. I started to listen and watch and read and do my own little due diligence. And I started to really understand what this is all about. It's not about color. It's about money and power.
Exactly.
It's about money and power.
That's so true. It is absolutely on point.
Yeah. So you asked me what I thought about Virginia. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I hated it. I just really detest the fact that an innocent person, you know, lost her life and other folks are injured because people, in an effort, and again, another thing that's going on that we tend to lose sight of, distractions. You know, when things are looking real shaky and shady and all these things, it's distracting. Get our attention off of what's really going on.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Watching and lamenting over what happened there. Yes, it's unfortunate, but I haven't lost sight of the fact that they're still trying to investigate the Russia thing.
Right.
I'm getting my mind off of that. That's important.
Right, it is.
But everybody else, because we're so, you know, we're good people, you know. We sympathize. There's a lot of fear going on now. There's a whole lot of very negative emotions being experienced by the people in this country. It's just so much frustration, and we're just losing sight of what they're really getting away with. Here's a man tells the people, I don't have to turn in my tax return. I'm the president. I actually laughed. I hollered. I said, if this is what you all want, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we got to stand. We got to get it together. We do as a people. And I'm thinking, because there always has been this energy in this country, I'm thinking that somewhere somebody is trying to put something together to make something happen. You know, someone, I think it was a congressman, senator, made a statement. They need to send Maxine Waters to, was it to Charlotte? Anyway, made some very disparaging remark, you know, because she's trying to spearhead a movement that's going nowhere, unfortunately. But, any rate.
That's a whole other conversation. And I have concerns about that whole Black Congressional Congress. I'll be very frank.
Oh.
And I've had people tell me, I'll not speak to you again. What are you saying against them? That's our blacks represented. Okay, so where's their agenda? Be upset with me. I'm going to speak my mind. And if we can't have a discourse about it, well, you know, then we just can't. But I'm willing to have a conversation and a discourse.
Well, this is another one of those things. This is another one of those situations. We lose sight of the real issues. When we start talking color, we start talking Democrat versus Republican, we lose sight of the real issues. You know, we just want people who are going to do what's right for the people. That's all. We just want people to do what's right for the people.
Exactly.
You know, that's why I don't subscribe to all these organizations. I was never a member of what's that five-letter organization. I was never a member of that, or the four-letter organization that supported and promoted equality.
ACLU,
I
understand. I
just didn't see it, all of these, you know, CORE and those. I just never did, because somehow I was fortunate enough to be not in the midst of it, but to be around people who were players in these things, and I knew what was going on.
Right.
So the minute you start to worship people and you start to worship organizations, you're done.
You're right.
That's how, you know, we can be hoodwinked. That's how we can be deceived.
Yeah, right.
That's just my feeling about it.
Well, Iris, we always appreciate your comments, and they're encouraging, and I'm hopeful that other listeners will be encouraged by your willingness to speak up and speak out and share your thoughts. We have about 30 seconds left on our time frame. For those of you who were on when we had Dr. Mendoza, we did not forget you. We have your information. Dr. Mendoza's been traveling. Your books are coming. Next week we have another very enlightening program. To Ron, thank you. Thank you again. And you know I'm going to be reaching out to you for more insight, because I'm pretty comfortable that there'll be other things that will be coming on the horizon that we'll want you to speak to. Again, Iris, we thank you out of Cleveland. A shout out to all the listeners around the country. We thank you. Continue to send your information in about suggestions of topics and or people, guests, and we'll certainly take your suggestions to heart and make it happen if it's something that we've checked and it's true, bringing power and enlightenment. So with that said, I'm going to end on enjoy the eclipse until we meet again next week. Be at peace. Tell someone you love them. You do. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. And love will find a way. God bless you all.
Love you
all.
Have
a good night.
Love you too.
Thank
you.
You.
Love you. Ronald.
Are you feeling down? like it's passing by. Just believe that love will find a way. I see the tears you cry. I see the pain.
Hi, oh, I'm pretty well. Yes, it's good to hear your voice. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping we'll get some other takers. If not, we're not trying to waste anyone's time. We're just doing this to try to move our,
Are you trying to find a beginning?
Effort.
Something just to hold on to. Always know that love.
Just a minute.